Low quality fans of a high quality Bruins franchise, welcome back. The trades are kicking off right now. It is the evening of June 23rd. I knew what month we were in. I definitely did. I'm not double checking right now. You can't prove that. June 23rd. We've already seen Brady Tkachuk move to Florida. We just saw William Eklund get grabbed by the Senators, so the ninth overall goes back the other way with some prospects in there. We've seen Simon Nemec head over to Calgary. A lot of moving parts. I'm finally recording this video. We are going to talk about a trade partner for every single team. The Boston Bruins, what they'd be going at with each roster in the league. We really need to set the groundwork for this, but there's one rule to this video. Have fun! But also, actually just have fun. This is for tits and gigs, man. That's what this is. We're having a good time. So, a couple things are going to happen to you if you watch this video. One, you're probably going to be like, hell yeah, I would do that trade if I were the Bruins at a couple of moments. And then you'll tell me how dumb I am for thinking the other team would accept that. Two, you're going to be like, this freaking idiot, why would the Bruins do that? That's way too much to give up for that player. You're going to have both of those feelings at some point. Three, hopefully you're thinking of your own deals that you'd want to put together. The general rule of thumb is if both sides are unhappy, then you've made a equal trade. I don't know how often I really did that in this video. I don't know really what the result of this video is going to be other than the comments are going to be very angry at me, no matter what side you're on. I'm going to be called an idiot for the same trade both ways. Guarantee it. Anyway, a couple of assumptions we're making when talking about these trade assets from the Bruins' end. We are assuming that the Toronto first rounder that is between us and Philly for 2027, blah, blah, blah. We're just flat out assuming it's an unprotected 2028 pick, okay? That's just, for the sake of the video, that's what we're assuming it is. These are not all trades I would do if I ran the Bruins. Some teams, which we'll talk about, just don't make great trade partners. But we had to talk about something with them. And lastly, there's going to be a little bit of hypocrisy between trades. When building 31 of them, that's unavoidable. We're going to have reasoning for some that's going to contradict others. That's just part of the game. So we're going to start over in the illustrious Pacific Division, which was so good this year. I mean, Vegas was in the finals, so what are you going to do? But we're going to start in the Pacific, go in alphabetical order, so no, like, real order for this, with the Anaheim Ducks. Now, I know immediately you go, McTavish. You're not winning a trade battle for McTavish. It just ain't happening, brother. You're not doing it. Hellison, I like it. It's a buy-low-ish candidate. A little swap with Lauri. Bruins probably got to throw something in there, but cool. But really, it's Zellweger. That's the guy that a lot of Bruins fans have been talking about for quite a while. He's 22 years old. He's a left-handed defenseman. He's an RFA. He's had 22 points in 76 games played last year. Positive expected goal differentials. We're also likely to lose a trade battle for him as well. And it's not like the Bruins desperately need more on their left side, but Zellweger would be a very welcome addition to a very complicated defense that the Bruins have right now. Lysell and a first is what I'm starting this package with, because there's also an element of we don't know what we're doing with this guy from Anaheim, so I don't think this is, I mean, we could actually look at the Nemec deal right now. Obviously very different with Nemec being a second overall pick the year of his draft, but I don't think he's getting a return like that. But it's a, my guess would be, my problem for your problem, Lysell, a first rounder is going to have to be part of it in all likelihood. And then you're probably just adding another guy in there as kind of, I don't know, you're like your Riley Durans or your, I mean, you hate to say it, but Donslutz Mills, but I think the Bruins franchise values him too much to move him off as fodder in a deal like this. But that's your first one, is you're looking at a Lysell, and you're looking at a first as your starting package for Zellweger, and then probably having to add just a little bit more there. Because I just think Lysell, however you want to say the name at this point, I just don't think there's a lot of value around the league for a player like him. I'm going to try not to take a million years on every single one of these picks, but this is kind of how we're doing it. Team, what we're looking at, what we would do. I think Anaheim's a great trade partner in a lot of different directions, and it's one of those teams that you can get very unique with because of the trade history between the two teams and the conversations that these GMs have had. But at the end of the day, I think it's about Zellweger. Next, we have the Calgary Flames. This actually was made much more interesting because I've been writing this over the past couple of weeks without the chance to actually sit down and record because I didn't have a chance to actually finish it. I had Zach Whitecloud, right-handed defenseman, 29 years old, 17 points in 78 games played between Vegas and Calgary this year. He has 2.8 mil with two more years on the contract as his annual average value. Immediately upgrades our right side and would give Calgary more assets for the rebuild. This is also interesting because they just got Nemec. So a premium position, a right-handed defenseman like this, Calgary knows that it's reboot time. It's real reboot time. It's not even like, oh, they figured it out. No, it was figured out for them. It is super reboot time. You would have to have a first as part of this just because he's a right-handed defenseman, even if he's not like a stellar one. But if you could get away from, if you could get away with the Bruins pick this year at 23, or say the Panthers pick in 2028, that's what you're looking at for the first. You're not looking at like an unprotected version of anything. You're hoping for a back half of the first round kind of pick. You would also throw Lorie over there as well as part of this. Right-handed defenseman, you'll notice, but those values are going to be up. That's a guy that seems expendable at this point to that team and should be pretty easy to pry out would be my guess. I would be surprised if we were not genuinely calling about him already. Couple of easy ones to start. Anaheim, you knew who you were looking at. Calgary, there was a few options, but you knew where you were really at. Edmonton. Edmonton has the same problem that a lot of these teams are going to have with us, is the Boston Bruins want to compete next year. And Edmonton also is looking for a cup contention kind of year next year. So both teams have to try to get better out of this. So who can Edmonton afford to give up that the Bruins would actually want? And I landed on Matthew Savoy. 22-year-old right shot winger, 1 year left on his entry-level contract, 18 goals, 19 assists, and 82 games played. It's a risky move here for the Oilers in particular, as you don't have a lot of young guys on your team that have promise. But the cup contention window is literally right now. And the Bruins would be interested in taking a chance on a guy like this, who is almost at 20 goals in his 22-year-old year. Oilers need more versatility, and they certainly need a hell of a lot more scoring support through their top nine. Pavel Zacha offers them exactly that. Now, again, their problem is in net, and they're going to have to figure that out. There might be a DiPietro trade in here somewhere. Savoy would still be my target for that. If you're giving up Pavel Zacha, I'd be comfortable giving up Pavel Zacha for Savoy as long as there was just a little more sweetener to it. Edmonton has to be extremely careful with how they are spending their assets. So this isn't something where they can simply go, oh, one for one for Zacha. But the Bruins will be sitting there going, shoot, I wanted another middling pick from you because Zacha's coming off of a 30-goal year and you guys are in prime contention window time. That's going to be a hard gap to bridge, I would say. Because I think genuinely both sides are valuing their guys more than the other side would. Typical, difficult trade partner. I think if you can work something out where it is Savoy and maybe an early middling pick, like a second or a third, which I have to actually look at Edmonton's... I said I wasn't going to take a forever with all these, but we're going to do this anyway. Yeah, Edmonton giving up, say, their third this year as well. And then back the other way, it's Zacha. And depending on how much the Bruins love DiPietro, I mean, that could excite them. Now, obviously, they want more of a sure thing in net. So I don't... It's easy to say that they'll be, like, all over DiPietro being the best goaltender in the AHL for 2 years running, but... DiPietro is an unknown quantity at the NHL level, and the Bruins not bringing it up and having Corpusalo as the backup just makes that harder to sell to another team. So I think this was more packaged around Zacha. The goaltending issue we can't solve with Edmonton unless we're sending Swayman over there, but that's just such a ridiculous, like, we're definitely not doing that. And for those of you who think we should, I get it, but again, you have to recognize, and I've been saying this a lot, The front office has made their decision. They're trying to be competitive. So you can keep talking about trading Swayman until you're blue in your face, but you're wasting your oxygen at this point because it's not happening. All right, let's move on to the Kings. The LA Kings, it's tough to predict what they'll actually do. Kopitar leaving and a lack of depth down the middle create an opportunity, but the Bruins don't have much to give in the center world. Would they be interested in middle stat? Would be something that'd be very, I'd be having that conversation with them, especially after the really good year that Mittelstadt had with the Bruins. Does Patra move the needle at all? Either way, I think the most likely candidate from the Kings to us is Trevor Moore. Trevor Moore is 31 years old. He's 2 years left at 4.2 mil. Left shot winger, 13 goals and 19 assists in 62 games played. He's seen his games and points decline each of the last two seasons, but he would be a welcome addition to a middle six winger group that was relying on Alex Steeves and Mikey Aisamont once Arvidsson went down. He could be an Arvidsson replacement. I think what you're looking at for a deal going back for Trevor Moore, again, it's going to require some decent assets, but I don't think this is like a first rounder going back the other way. I'm pretty comfortable moving Mittelstadt, especially if Arvidsson is not sticking around. Because we saw how good the Zacha, Mittelstadt, Arvidsson line is. Mittelstadt has a lot of history of not being that good. That second line is has largely the potential to get blown up, especially if Arvidsson's heading on down the road and you're not sure if you can plug and play someone in there and Mittelstadt have the same kind of results. Again, I don't think Mittelstadt's a line driver. I know he had a good year, but I would be looking to see if they would take Mittelstadt back. Obviously, they're eating a little more cap there. But it does help with their center needs. The other day, Mittelstadt had more goals, assists, points than Trevor Moore. He's younger by 4 years. He's a little more expensive, and he's not locked down long-term. I'd be pretty comfortable with a one-for-one switch. Obviously, on paper, that doesn't look fair to the Bruins, but I just don't value Mittelstadt all that much. And you wonder what these teams value after it's a bounce-back year, right? It's 1 year. It's not like, oh, this player's fully back. Easy to sell a team on that. So it might be kind of a one-for-one deal. You're looking to maybe grab another little like late-ish pick or middling pick for that. You get older and you have less depth down the middle, but Mittelstadt wasn't playing a ton of center for us in his most impactful minutes anyway, as Zacha had kind of taken that over. Honestly, hated looking at the Kings team trying to find a deal. Really, really did. I hated that. And I don't even feel like I was very successful in that. San Jose is the first one that we get a real curveball because they are moving and grooving. They have the second overall pick, which is very interesting. They are an up-and-comer. They have a ton of great players all over the roster. They think they are ready for playoff hockey next year. What asset could they give up that makes the Bruins better but makes sense for a Sharks team coming out of their rebuild? If I said Lauri, Zacha, the Bruins first, and Toronto's first in 2028 unprotected, who do you think I'm going after? Yeah, you got me. I'm surprised you guessed it. Second overall pick. I want it. I don't know or think that package gets it done, but I think there's a realistic path to the Bruins going after that pick for Stenberg or Reed, depending on where they're going to prioritize things. If I'm talking to the San Jose Sharks, it's about that second overall. Now, is it more likely now that they also have the ninth overall and moved on from William Eklund? It's probably less likely. It probably means that they're going Stenberg at number two, and they're very comfortable with that. I think Stenberg might be the best player in the draft at the end of the day. I know everyone's got McKenna fever, but I really like Stenberg a lot. So I think that makes it a little more difficult. But if they're looking for veteran presence, more draft capital to weaponize at this point, because truly that's what you're doing. You're weaponizing it as you try to make a push towards the playoffs. Zacha's a great veteran presence. He's going to be involved in a lot of these trades. He's a versatile player. You get a little more help with Lauri, who has some sort of ceiling there. But again, he's mid-20s, so who knows how much value is truly there. But that's what I'm going for, is the second overall pick. There's not a player that makes a lot of sense for either side to swap a hockey trade for. I do think that this trade that just released right before I started recording does make it a little more difficult. The Seattle Kraken. is the worst run organization in the league. That's the first note I had about them. Man, I'm mean. Despite the rumors and the stalling of development, I don't think Matty Beniers is on the market. And although Shane Wright would be a fun option to look into, the Bruins are also trying to compete next year, and they need a meaningful boost. Jared McCann, 29-year-old left shot winger slash center, 5 mil for one more year, 20 goals, 20 assists, and 52 games played. If he can put up strong offensive numbers year after year on this dumpster fire, I'd love to see what he can do on a team with structure. It's not Sweeney's style, because he prefers guys with term, and Seattle wouldn't love the idea of moving on from McCann, but Seattle isn't close. They missed the playoffs by 11 points despite playing in the league's worst division, and it may be time to seriously consider resetting or at least moving off some of your more competitive vets. It will cost a first, and a real player, and a prospect. They'll be asking for Dean. I don't think they'd get him. Simpson, I think you can get away with. A first, Patra, and Khuzdinov, which makes me want to vomit, but I think Khuzdinov brings something that Seattle would really covet, which is that motor and that ability to hunt pucks. So a first, Cooper Simpson, Patra, and Khuzdinov. That's a big price to pay for a guy like that. You're hoping that McCann can be healthy and that you can extend him easily. You'd probably need to be able to have a conversation with the player, making sure that he's willing to extend in Boston, because he'll be 30 next year. And you're going to want to get, you know, some good years out of this if you're going to give up so many assets. You expect that with a full season, he does get closer to those, you know, he had that 140 goal season and then got close to 30 a couple of times as well. But you're just looking for more help in your top six, and he gives you that. You're giving up a real pile of assets for it, though. Khuzdinov would hurt. God, he would hurt. Vancouver. Vancouver Canucks. The name of the game for Vancouver is assets. Assets, assets, assets. They want picks and young players. More appearances at the plate, if you will. You'll hear chatter about Pettersson, but the Bruins aren't in a place to take a nearly $12 million contract for a guy who has a lot of doubters and doesn't play anything close to a style this front office prefers. Boeser has been linked to us several times and will be an option, funny enough. Same with DeBrusk, but the guy we would want, is Hronek. I've been saying this a bunch. This isn't a surprise if anyone's been kind of hanging out with this channel for a bit. Hronek is a 28-year-old right-handed defenseman, 7.3 mil for the next 6 years. He had 8 goals, 41 assists, and 82 games played. This doesn't come without risks. There's a lot of the analytics crowd really doesn't like Hronek all that much. And the package would be massive. I think the start of this deal is this year's Bruins first, Dean Letourneau, and Laure. And that's at the bare minimum, I think. That doesn't even get the deal fully complete, because you're getting 6 more years out of a very, very good right-handed defenseman at a cost that, frankly, is not the end of the world by any means. 7.3 mil is just fine with the rising cap world. Hronek has warts defensively and has had some really good years and some really bad ones. But he immediately gives us a huge upgrade on the second pair on the right side, right where we need it. Yes, they would make Vancouver truly abysmal next year, but I don't think that's a problem for them. So you're looking at your first rounder, one of your favorite prospects, probably your second best prospect in Dean, and then another player going over there. Laure would be that kind of throw-in. If I'm Vancouver, I'm asking for a Dans Lutsmels. I'm asking for the addition of Loke Johansson. I don't think they'll be able to pry Frederick Brunet away, because I think there's a lot of hope that he's a really solid player for us in the bottom pair next year. But it's costing you genuinely a ton of real assets. I would trade this year's first, Dean and Laure, for Hronek. And I would toss a little more on that too, because to have a truly stellar top four would be huge for the Bruins right now. Our final team from the Pacific is the Vegas Golden Knights. Are we already 8 in? We're cruising. All right. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Vegas. The Forever Win Now Knights. It makes this extremely difficult match to find a trade. They wouldn't walk away from anything that helps them win next year. And the only thing the Bruins can really offer is future assets besides a couple lateral moves involving Zacha. Now, I think really what you're looking at is an asset for a guy that they are already losing. I really hate to play this card, especially so early in the video, But the only deal that actually makes any sense for both sides here is just a tiny little bit of work to get the Bruins a player that they wanted before. Rasmus Anderson is a 29-year-old right-handed defenseman, UFA. He has 17 goals, 30 assists, and 81 games played regular season this year. Underlying metrics were a mess last year, and he struggled to find a consistent high level of play for Vegas for most of his time there. But I think it's a good bet that he can be a lot better. I know this is a very polarizing player, but the conversation here is not about assets, because the very best that Vegas can expect in a sign-and-trade is, what, a third-round pick? We see guys fourth, fifth-round picks is usually what they're getting just for the sign-and-trade aspect of it. But let's call it a third for the rights to Rasmus Anderson as long as he's willing to sign and whatnot, and then the extension comes from there. Is that very lame? Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Nothing I can do about that one. Vegas is not an easy team to trade with. On to the Central and the Blackhawks. Yes, they keep saying they want to take the next step this year. I'm not really sure what that means for a team that finished 31st and missed the playoffs by nearly 20 points. So I guess it's problem for problem, right? Well, that doesn't really work either. There doesn't seem to be a clear problem guy for them to ship out. So we have to get back to the weird direction of the draft. This is a very feasible option, but it has to happen the right way. The fourth overall pick, they have stated that they are open to moving it. Personally, I don't do anything until I know that either Stenberg or Reed are there at number four, because those are the players that I really like. There's a very large possibility that neither are there at number four. But if Reed in particular falls just a little bit, I would do something that would be similar to the Sharks trade, right? It's Lauri. It's this year's first for the Bruins. It's Toronto's first in 2028. It's Zacha. And though I think they would actually, they potentially could prefer Mittelstadt in that trade. Either way, I'm fine. You are giving up a haul. Multiple first-round picks and some real NHL players to get a draft pick. But if Reed is what I think he is, you might be finding your solution on the right side for a very long time. Very long time. I would be trying my damnedest, or I would have been trying my damnedest to keep Toronto's pick out of this trade until news broke that Matthews is very likely returning and everything's fine. I mean, so whatever. But my interest in the number four overall pick is very, very large if Stenberg or Reed are there. Stenberg and Reed are probably going 2 and 3 in some order. So, you know. But if the fourth overall pick is up and they're like, hey, we've got the option of taking Reed here, I'm on that phone. I've got the package ready. I've got the video call. I'm sending shots of the lower belt. Hey, turning them on? No, it didn't work? All right, we tried. We're going to move on to the Colorado Avalanche. It's cup or bust for the Avs, as it should be, as it always will be, while you have McCarr and MacKinnon. They have only two picks in the first three rounds of the next three drafts, a second in 2027 and a third in 2028. If it doesn't make them better right now, they won't give a crap about that. Not exactly a problem for the Bruins, who would consider giving up Zacha, who would be a middle six improvement for the Avs. Or maybe they see some upside in Lauri, Patra, etc. But Colorado has an assets issue with very few picks, none are high value, and a bottom five prospect pool due to the push to win now. The most interesting player in this system to me is Mikhail Guliyev. I don't know how to say his name properly. He's staying in Russia for another couple of years. That's not great for us. That basically leaves Maximilian Kurin or Gavin Brindley. Neither of which would help Boston this upcoming season. Both of which could end up as an NHL AHL tweener. Best case scenario, they look like a middle six energy forward. None of that works. So I'm going, simply, Ilya Nabokov. A 23-year-old left-catching goaltender currently getting mixed results in the KHL, but has had some very good seasons over there. The Avs are probably hesitant to let go of their best goaltending prospect, and I can't imagine the Bruins love the idea of giving up a roster player to bring in a developing goaltender, but it's the only asset I think Sweeney truly takes interest in over there. Even so, I'm not giving up Zacha in this deal. If they have interest in Joki Haru in a middling pick, great, but none of this really seems to work. So let's do something really fun. Morgan Geekie, this year's first, and Will Zellers. That hurt? Did that hurt a little bit? It will. For Marty Nachos. Nachos. Colorado alleviates the cap crunch. Bruins get a star forward they desperately need. Colorado potentially gets, you know, 40-goal guy Morgan Geeky, or just under 40-goal guy Morgan Geeky. There's value there. Is that enough to get Nachos? I think because Colorado has to make so many hard decisions about their cap, yeah, I think that is enough to get Nachos. Especially because of how incredible Morgan Geeky's contract is. God, that sucks. I don't want to do that, but I kind of do want to do that. All right, we're going to move on, but really think about that. Think about that one for me. Dallas! Yes! This is a cap conversation, as there's a lot of talk about their inability to re-sign Robo. Keep in mind, an offer sheet would mean signing Robo to free agency-style money. Think $15, $16 million. Meaning you aren't getting him under value, and you are giving up your next four first-round picks for him. Four. No protection. Off they go. That's what the RFA offer sheet would be. That's what it would be. Easier option. Maybe. Maverick Bork, who had 41 points in 82 games, 20 goals, but it should be fairly easy for Dallas to sign him to a bridge deal that keeps him around while they manage their cap in other areas, right? Yeah, probably. But Bork might generally be a luxury they can't afford if they are intending to keep Robo. I'm going to call this an offer sheet for Bork instead of Robertson. Bork gets a deal in the 6-7 mil range. Bruins give up a first and a third for it. I know, obviously, there's risk to this, as you don't genuinely know what Bork will turn into, and giving up a first and a third is a little bit tough there. But if Bork signs that deal and Dallas can't match, do I want a 23rd overall pick and a third rounder, or do I want a guy who I know can play in the NHL and who has been getting half a point per game? Pretty easy for me, actually, here. Now, if it gets to the next level, right, of offer sheets, I'm not so sure about that. I don't like doing that anymore. The Minnesota Wild. What a confusing mess. They've got a billion free agents, eight, and two restricted free agents. No one on that list of 10 is a must-keep, but there would be a lot of value left on the table if they walked away from the majority. They also aren't in a great cap situation, given how many contracts they need to sign, and have a logjam in net with both Gustafsson and Wahlstedt looking to be a number one. Wahlstedt will likely be looking at a big contract next offseason, so one that the Wild likely can't afford. Unfortunately for the Wild, goalies aren't typically traded for high-end value, even if they look great at a young age. Keep an eye on Edmonton to see what they're willing to give up for this. But if Mittelstadt has any value, this is actually who I'm looking to send him to. As the lack of center depth plus injuries is highlighted in their loss to Colorado, Mittelstadt, 50% retained for his final year, and a second for Bobby Brink, sign and trade. Brink is a 24-year-old right-shot winger with a high motor and a bit of offensive talent. He's an RFA, and while I'm sure they would love to keep him, they likely need to focus their efforts and finances elsewhere. I know that it can kind of feel like a lot to give up Mittelstadt, retain 50%, and a second for a guy who is more of a middle six winger. It kind of goes to show how I don't think Mittelstadt has a ton of value, and I just think Bobby Brink is a winning style player. He's a guy who helps make a big play when you need it. Really good on the boards, really, really good forechecker. I'm kind of in on Bobby Brink, obviously. So that's where I sit, looking to just kind of swap some assets around. A real hockey trade, if you will. The Nashville Predators. Who knows what direction the Predators will take, but one thing's certain. They have a ton of picks over the next 3 years. They have 3 firsts, 6 seconds, 7 thirds, 5 fourths, 6 fifths. Do they want more picks, or do they want some game changers right now? What if they want a total reset, huh? Huh? Hold on, huh? Forsberg, 31 years old, right shot winger, 8.5 mil for the next 4 seasons, 40 goals, 35 assists, and 82 games played. The Bruins first this year. Toronto's unprotected 2028. Matthew Patra, Murat Kuznetsov, and Mason Lauri for Forsberg. Forsberg. I don't think they take it. I really don't, right? I think it's going to be extremely difficult to pry him out of there. And with some of the deals we've seen, we need to give up more. Now, he's a winger. He's not a center. So you do get away from that, like, oh, we have to give up 4 first rounders for you kind of stuff. But 2 firsts and some decent younger talent in Patra and Kuznetsov and Lauri, Does that get you there? I don't know. But that's who I'm looking for. And a reminder, feel free to throw your own trade packages in here. What you probably need to do is the Bruins first this year, Toronto's unprotected. You need to throw in... the Bruins really don't want to lose Dean or James Higgins. So Will Zellers is probably another guy that you're looking at here going back the other way. But at that point, you're not giving up anything else. The two firsts and your third best prospect, all right, we're done. Right, it's over. That's as much as we can give for this right now. Which makes me think you'd probably go a little farther with another middle lane pick. The St. Louis Blues, Higgins and Bruins first this year, and Mason Lorai for Robert Thomas. Massive solution to the largest problem the Bruins have while sitting on one of the most offensively gifted players this franchise has ever seen in Pastrnak. Robert Thomas to David Pastrnak would feed us for years to come. And seeing these deals, because I wrote this like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Higgins, Bruins first this year, and Mason Lorai. They're talking about so many more assets going for players of this caliber. But Higgins would be one of the best prospects moved, especially at the center position, that we've seen for a little while at least. So I like to think, because they're not going to do Higgins for Thomas one for one. Why should they, right? You're hoping Higgins turns into Thomas. But you like to think that Higgins has enough value that it just takes a few other things to get Thomas over here. But that's the only place I'm looking on the Blues is Robert Thomas. If they really think about moving him, which is insane to me, because he's a first-line center. Championship caliber first-line center. It's just crazy to me that they would even move him. Utah Mammoth. Feels pretty simple to me. The Bruins would be targeting either Durzi or Marino on the right side. If it was Marino, Sweeney would want the chance to make sure he could re-sign him. The package would likely be something in the range of this year's first, of course, which is basically going to get moved in every deal we're talking about. Lorai would be going back. You would have a Cooper Simpson be part of that deal. And I think you'd have Loke Johansson be part of that deal, which you do send a couple of defensemen over in the same deal. But that's kind of the package I'm looking at. The right-handed defenseman, man, they have so much value. I really like either of those players, so that's kind of where I'm looking. They have a little surplus there. They are trying to compete, so again, it makes for a difficult trade partner, but I'm looking at a package around a first, a Cooper Simpson or Will Zellers, and then whatever other fodder you need to throw in for one of these right-handed defensemen. Winnipeg! Winnipeg! Winnipeg feels like they should be rebounding back to contention next year, right? I guess the rest of us have doubts. So let's do what the Jets should do and capitalize on a rising cap and start a proper rebuild. Now, look, you can make the argument that the Jets franchise can't survive a proper rebuild anymore, that franchise would get moved. But Sweeney would love a player like Scheifele, who I am on record not loving, but the guy's a good hockey player. The Bruins have the draft assets to make it happen. This year's first, Florida's first in 2028, Will Zellers and Fabian Lysell. I wouldn't do it because I just always feel like we're one day away from Scheifele just not being good anymore, but the guy keeps always proving me wrong. I think it would take quite the haul to get the top line center like Scheifele, even though he's terrible defensively. But those are the kind of picks I'm giving up. I'm giving up Florida's and ours. I still think Toronto's pick has some value in there that could be much higher, especially because it's basically unprotected at this point, especially if it's going to land in 2028, and there's so much time for things to go wrong, which you love to see. Florida has so much and so much locked down that it's harder to see how they fall apart by 2028. This one's kind of lame because I don't want to do it. Winnipeg's a terrible trade partner for us, just across the board. On to the Metro. The Metropolitan. Carolina Hurricanes. They're cup finalists. Not only that, they're cup winners. Good for them. They have talent all over the lineup locked down for years to come. The cap situation is excellent. They aren't in a position you can take advantage of, and they certainly won't be strong-armed into any bad deals. What do they need? They say they need more center depth, but the Hall, Stankov, and Blake line has been so good that maybe they no longer feel that way. They'd like to dump Kotkaniemi's contract, but the Bruins aren't in position to take that on while pushing to be competitive. They could use a bit more defensive depth as well, I suppose, but who couldn't? basically, this is another terrible trade partner for the Bruins. They're kind of a terrible trade partner for everyone because, again, their situation is so concrete right now. Like, they have the cap to do what they want. They have the players to do what they want. They have a great team, and they're just not in a position of disadvantage anywhere. So maybe the Bruins take some risks with a team like this, and they give themselves a chance to be a contender while the franchise pillars are in their prime. If you were to go the Kotkaniemi route, 2 goals, 7 assists in 42 games this year. He's a 25-year-old center. He's making 4.82 a year for 4 more years. Obviously, I don't recommend this to anyone, but I can at least see the logic of if he rebounds in a new environment, it should also cost next to nothing, as Jesperi has completely played himself out of the lineup in Carolina and has basically sunk money at this point. I could see them being happy just to get him off their books. A middling pick, and that's it. That is quite literally the only trade that makes sense with this team. And no, before you ask, they would not be willing to do an Elias Lindholm for Kotkaniemi swap. I think they'd rather save the money on the contract than bring him an Elias, even though Elias is better. Columbus! This one's interesting because they just started talking about Marchenko potentially being on the block, which I don't think that's real. Obviously, an uncomfortable end to the season with Rick Bowness tearing this team a new bumhole after a late-season collapse keeps them out of the playoff picture. There's plenty to like about their team, though. A variety of talent at important positions and plenty of money to re-sign whoever they need this offseason. They have the Norris winner leading their defense, a young stud in net that looks like maybe a top 10 guy at the position, and they don't seem particularly starved for talent at any position. Weird thing to say, obviously, about a team that couldn't make the playoffs. The question is becoming, do they have enough to truly take that next step into contention? This team seems to have a ton to offer in trade value if they want something. I feel like someone smarter than me could cook something really clever up here. But right now, let's assume Columbus wants to be better next year so futures doesn't get the job done, really. Like, just draft picks won't get it done. Which, if we were going to try to get Werenski, right? Basically, all we could offer is a bunch of first-rounders for the guy and then a couple of our prospects. But I don't really foresee him being largely available. I would, like, Dean Letourneau would be in that trade. Obviously, this year's first and another one of our firsts. Really throw in anyone who's not Hagens or Zellers after that. But, yeah, that would be something I'd be very interested in. I love Werenski. I really do. I would like to make a play for Voronkov, who at 25 years old continues to average just about half a point per game, but frustratingly flashes a higher ceiling throughout the season. He has one more year at 4.175 mil and becomes an RFA next offseason. He's the exact type of player that Sweeney and Neely covet because he's physical, he's aggressive, he likes to play the boards, and he's not technically a rental because an RFA, you get that opportunity to re-sign them. Obviously, I'm not sure that Zaka for Voronkov makes sense for Columbus or the Bruins, but hear me out. Merzlikins was awful last year and has been routinely awful for the past few years. He also makes 5.4 mil for one remaining season. Korpisalo is better than Elvis and at a lower cap hit, 3 mil. Voronkov and Merzlikins for Korpisalo, Mason Lauri, and a second. That feels too good for the Bruins, even though you're eating a bunch with that Merzlikins contract, but it's for one more year. I feel like this feels too good for the Bruins. You might have to throw in something else that, like, down the lineup, but a guy that would play on their team this year. Which, really, I'm not sure if we have for them. I'm not sure if we have that. That's the thing. I wrote this down. I liked it when I wrote it down, and now I just feel like this is way too good for the Bruins because I really do like Voronkov. There are a lot of questions about his game, too, though. This is a tough mix. This is a tough mix here. I'd say that same deal, but you are throwing in, let's say, the rights to Oscar Zeljevic. Still feels too good for the Bruins, though, doesn't it? All right, moving on. We've reached the New Jersey, New York, New York triangle here. The New Jersey Devils, between the Nemec trade rumors, which is now the Nemec trade, the ridiculous Luke Hughes extension, the bumbling of in-season decisions, the horrible injury luck, and the poor personnel hires, it's hard to take the Devils seriously. Truly is. I suppose a smart front office is waiting for a healthy season to evaluate this roster and see if this team actually has what it takes to, you know, be impactful. But I genuinely think that locker room must be awful. If my boss gave a massive contract to my coworker's younger brother for that reason and nothing else, I would be right to decide that this place is not a serious workplace and leave. So when I was first looking at this, I was saying I'd move Lauri. I would move this year's first plus a good prospect for Nemec, right? Because there's still so many questions. Yeah, he's a second overall pick, but he's 22 years old. He is a right-handed defenseman, which is coveted. But he's just not been that great at the NHL level yet. And so there's a concern. And if I even wrote this, if this turns into a bidding war, you simply can't get involved. So remember, I just said that I would move Lauri, a first, and a good prospect for Nemec. What they got instead was Vegas's 2027 first-round pick, Colorado's 2028 first-round pick, the Rangers' 2026 second-rounder, and Etienne Morin, I don't know who that is, for Siplikov and Nemec. I actually wasn't that far away. It sounds at first glance that I wasn't, but those are two late in the first round or expected to be late in the first round picks. A Lauri, a good prospect, and a first, we're in the conversation for Nemec. I am glad we didn't do it. But now we got to pivot and we got to see what else we have in New Jersey. I can't believe there's even a conversation about Nico Hischier being traded. I know he only has 1 year left. He's 27 years old. He had 28 goals, 38 assists for 66 points in 82 games played while dealing with a rotating cast of players on his lines because of all of the injuries to them. I would love Nico Hischier on the Boston Bruins. I would have a package of, especially if we can get an extension done, multiple firsts. So two firsts, Lauri obviously being part of it, and Dean for Nico Hischier. I would do that in a heartbeat. And so that's what I'm calling about. As long as I think I can re-sign him, yeah, big trades have to happen once in a while. The New York Islanders. This is another team that feels like they should be in the picture next year, but with Schaefer projected as maybe the best defenseman of this generation, they'd be wise to be patient, I think. You don't need to be in the picture right away. Build this the right way rather than rushing into anything. I'm guessing Futures still works for the Islanders, especially as their timeline is now focused on Schaefer rather than Barzal or Sorokin. Getting caught between two timelines can waste a lot of years. While Barzal is far from my favorite player, and he represents the only star power they have at the top of the lineup, the Islanders may be interested in moving off him if they think a retool is best and focus on building their forward group through the draft and free agency. A package of Lauri, two firsts, and Cooper Simpson feels like it gets it done. I'd hesitate from the Bruins' end. That feels like a lot for a guy like Barzal, who I just, frankly, don't love. He's not healthy a lot. There's a lot about his game that feels very outside of the hash marks, but he's offensively gifted. It would bring back a bunch of 2015 comments, which I wouldn't be looking forward to. But it would take a big package because he is a top-line center in this league. Barzal, actually, let me give you some stats here. 29 years old. He is in year 4 of 8 of a $9.15 million contract. He had 19 goals, 53 assists in 81 games played. He would be great with Pasta because he would focus on facilitating while Pasta would be focused on scoring, which is probably the better way to use him. So the big package for Barzal, if I'm already giving up those assets, I'm calling a lot of other teams first. I'm calling a lot of other teams first before I'm calling the Islanders, but that's where we land with them. The Rangers. Before we even start, let me say that Trocheck doesn't make sense to me. I know that he's asked to do too much in New York, but that doesn't change that he is an aging center who doesn't solve our 1C issue, would require large assets to acquire. The end result would be spending too much capital to bring in a player who adds to the messy center depth we have now, where we have 4 third-line centers and no top 6 options. Is that a little too negative towards what Trocheck does for the Rangers? Yeah, but it really doesn't change how I feel all that much. What is interesting is the amount of smoke around Alexis Lafreniere. A first overall pick in 2020, he stumbled often with the Rangers, but did show signs of a top-line player after the Panarin trade. He would be a great fit in Boston, but there would be risk of bringing him in. A point-per-game pace is great, but when it only started once the Rangers season was basically over, it's concerning. 24 years old, has 6 more years left on a $7.45 million deal. It would take a real package to get him, and the Rangers aren't very interested in a total reset. This year's Bruins first, a third, Lorite and Zellers for Laf. I don't know if they take that. And you'll notice that a lot of these, it's similar assets going out the door. Like, this year's first is the one that I'm just adding to everything. Will Zellers is our third best prospect, so I'm going to be adding him to a lot because I want to keep Dean. I want to keep Hagans. You absolutely do not move Hagans or Dean in a deal like this because you're not moving a potential top six center for a winger. Ever. Don't do that. That's a bad idea. I would, more interestingly, be looking at Schneider. He's a 24-year-old right-handed defenseman, RFA, who's had a bit of a roller coaster career so far. Again, a first and Lorite are surely included, but can you get by with just a couple middling round picks to pry him out of New York past that? Especially if there's some sort of push from Schneider that, hey, I know I'm an RFA, but I don't really want to re-sign here kind of thing. We haven't heard anything of the ilk, so I'm really just projecting here. But I would give up a first and some middling assets for Schneider being on that right side. I think he has a lot more to give. But again, analytically and eye test everything, he's been a bit of a roller coaster. So there's certainly a level of risk to that for sure. The Philadelphia Flyers. A surprisingly successful season. We would all agree on that. Plenty of cap space, couple big extensions to make for Zegras and Drysdale, but otherwise they are in fantastic position to build upon this season if they believe it was real. They might not believe it was real. It might be a blip on the radar. The tricky part here is while the Flyers have a lot of good to very good players, they have a severe lack of star power. Now, Porter Marton, I would expect, is a star caliber, top line, franchise pillar within the next couple of years. Michkov would be that other portion of that and could be a great franchise pillar himself. There's still some questions there. Anyone past them, you're just not finding a lot of point per game guys on that squad for sure, or a lot of 30 goal scorers. I'll let you in on something funny. So again, I wrote some of these a couple weeks ago. This is what I wrote. This one's a bit boring, but I'd like to go after Emile Andre with an offer sheet. 24-year-old, 5'9", 194-pound left-shot defenseman who plays both sides. 2 goals, 11 assists, and 61 games played. Underlying metrics are strong and very sheltered minutes. I'd be fine sending a contract his way in a bridge deal of $3-ish million. It would cost the Bruins a second rounder, which frankly isn't a good deal for Boston, but I don't value picks highly, honestly, and I think Andre has a lot more to give. Now, obviously, that doesn't work because Andre is now in Toronto. Little trades happened between them and the Flyers. The problem you run into now is who are you actually taking out of Philly? Because how much do they value these guys? How much do they think this season was real? I can promise you, everyone in that locker room thinks this season was real, right? That's the point. In sports, you convince yourself you've got a shot, and if there's some proof to be laid upon, you're going to lay on it. So, who are they interested in getting rid of? You hear the Owen Tippett stuff all the time. I would absolutely love to be involved in that. He is a 27-year-old winger, right shot winger, about 210 pounds, 28 goals, 23 assists for 51 points in 81 games played. He's your closest thing to star power, but behind the guys I mentioned earlier. I'm pretty comfortable giving up multiple picks, especially if this year's Bruins first. It is either Toronto or Florida's first rounder. The picks that you expect to be in the farther back, I'm not going out of my way to use the Bruins 2027 pick or anything like that. You'd be including Lorite. But the problem I have with Owen Tippett is I'm fine giving up draft capital for him. I have a harder time giving up some of our higher level assets that they're going to want, which is the prospects, right? It's your Deans, it's your Zellers, it's your... it's your Hagans, it's your Simpsons. It's guys that we really like and that we hope can take some big steps in the near future. So I don't find a lot of great opportunity with Philly without knowing more about what they'd actually be willing to move off of. At the end of the day, I'm calling about Tippett. And I'm willing to go as far as multiple firsts and some of these guys that are trying to break into the NHL, your Matthew Patra, your Fabian Lysell, your Brune maybe, but Loke Johansson. Elliot Grönwald, actually, that's probably where we're looking, is your couple of firsts, Grönwald, and toss in like a Lysell and go from there. I'm not so sure that gets it done, though. On to Pittsburgh. Same conversation as Philly. Tons of cap room. A lot of real NHL-level hockey players on the team. Surprisingly good season. No star power to replace the aging out previous core. They need a reset. At the very least, a significant retool. They know they need to do it, but Crosby has another year left, so let's hang on for another year, then we'll talk about it the following year. Maybe not, though. Let's say they do reset. Let's say they go, hey, we can't let all of our guys age out. What about Brian Rust, 34-year-old right-shot winger who has 2 years left on a $5.125 million deal? 29 goals, 36 assists, and 72 games played last year. We wouldn't give up the farm for him by any means, but this year's first at DiPietro will be a good start here. The addition of a decent prospect like Patra would likely be necessary as well. And again, that's your starting point. You're likely adding in more on the fringes there. But Rust would be a very welcome addition to the top six, especially if Victor Arvidsson is not coming back. He kind of slots in for that role for you. That's only if the Penguins actually decide to reset, though. God knows. God knows. Speaking of, Washington Capitals. Alex Ovechkin is 40. Yeah, I feel old, too. The Capitals missed the playoffs by 4 points while hitting the typical threshold of 95 points for playoff teams. The back end is mostly locked up and damn good. Logan Thompson has been arguably elite when healthy the past few seasons. They have a lot to work with on the front end as well, and the cap space plus some draft capital to add to it. I am shocked by how this team continues to stay in the picture despite the old guard aging out. Here's what's interesting. The Capitals need a bit more at the top of the lineup to get back in the picture. The support frame looks, frankly, excellent, and they have young players who at least have a chance to reach that higher ceiling. Protas, Leonard, Hudson all could be top of the lineup difference makers someday. Hudson, obviously, on the back end. So what if they feel like they have what they need, and they just want to add a bit more firepower without moving out their talent? The Bruins wouldn't enjoy this, but how much could they pull out of Washington with a deal around Morgan Geeky? He scored nearly 40 goals last year, and his contract is one of the league's best at only $5.5 million. Could a return package include the 16th and 18th overall picks this year, both currently owned by Washington? I'm not editing that last sentence out because literally as I said it, my phone binged and they no longer have the 16th. They only have the 18th because they just got Jordan Kyrou. This is a long day to record this apparently because everyone's trading everything. By the time I'm going to post this, everyone's going to be like, no, this is new. All your notes are bullshit. They just got Kyrou. Right. Yeah. So they wouldn't be looking at Kiki. So let's do this on the fly here. Zacha for a first and Andrew Kristall. Kristall is one of their best prospects. I'm just throwing that out there. We're going to move on. We're going to, all right, whatever, dude. I shouldn't have waited. Should have done it over the weekend. The Buffalo Sabres! Buffalo is in a unique position this offseason. They've got a limited amount of cap space for a few pretty important extensions. The debate over how they keep or should they keep Tuck continues to go strong. I'm sure the Bruins are watching that scenario carefully. Fans of other teams are talking about how they could pry Benson away through an offer sheet, but it's hard to imagine Buffalo won't simply match whatever Benson signs at this point. Devin Levi remains interesting, but doesn't make a ton of sense for the Bees unless they move Korpisalo elsewhere, which I do like the idea of that, is moving Korpisalo out, but bringing in Levi to be at least in contention for that backup role and seeing who wins it. Bowen Byram's price tag is huge, and I can't imagine Boston wants to invest in another left-handed defenseman. Buffalo also doesn't seem that interested in moving off their top prospects as they finally re-enter a competitive team conversation and they don't want to just give up the farm right away. They want to make sure that they're taking the proper steps. What Buffalo does need is goaltending. Truly great goaltending. They won't get Sway out of Boston. But a small deal for Zajacek or DiPietro makes a lot of sense here. It's no guarantee to fix their issue, but DiPietro has been the best goalie in the AHL 2 years running. And Zajacek has been no slouch behind him. DiPietro and a fourth, plus the rights to Oscar Jelvik for the 20th overall pick that they just got from the Edmonton Oilers in the Kesselring trade. I would do that. It doesn't fix the Bruins' backup issue. It makes it worse, but I would still do that. Detroit Red Wings! Dylan Larkin! I don't need him. Like, I'd like to have him, but I don't need him. And I'm certainly not interested in giving up multiple firsts and a high-level prospect for him. The asking price feels high, but I stared at this team for like 20 minutes and couldn't think of what else they would actually send our way, given the pressure for both the Bruins and the Red Wings to be in the mix next year. So let's work out a Larkin deal. It's going to be focused on players. Dylan Larkin and Eddie Grenberg, 19-year-old left winger, heavy but inconsistent game. For Pavel Zacha, Will Zellers, this year's Bruins first, and Toronto's 2028 pick. I kind of feel like Detroit says no, but I'm very okay with that as well. I want to get at least one other thing from Detroit if I'm taking Larkin. I understand. Larkin's a very good player. But there's an argument for who's going to perform better over the next 5 years, Dylan Larkin versus Pavel Zacha, that, yeah, 75% of the time, Dylan Larkin probably performs better. Pavel Zacha, he's a dog, man. That's all I'm saying. The Florida Panthers. The top nine is set with Brady Tkachuk entering the fold. The cap space is tight with plenty of work to do to grab a couple goaltenders and some additional depth. The Panthers would like a solution in net and more draft capital to weaponize for future needs. The problem is they won't make themselves weaker for the upcoming season, so there's no one in particular to target from this group. It's pretty lame, but I think something like DiPietro for the Capitals' second-round pick that the Panthers own would be the answer, but that is a pretty high pick for an unknown goaltender. Not a great trade partner here. Crazy idea. Throwing it out here. Hellebuck goes to the Panthers. The Bruins send this year's first and Will Zellers to the Jets. The Panthers send a second rounder and Vilmanis to Winnipeg. Bruins get Lundell from the Panthers. So at the end of it, Winnipeg ends up with the Bruins first this year, the Panthers second rounder, Will Zellers, and Vilmanis. The Panthers end up with Hellebuck, and the Bruins end up with Lundell. Is that kind of nonsense? Yeah, you're probably right. But I think there's something there. I think there's a three-team trade between these groups that could happen. Obviously, you really hate to make Florida better and to help them with that, but you got to focus on yourself sometimes. Montreal Canadiens. The hardest part about finding a trade with the Habs is they are kind of big game hunting, and that's it seems. Like, they have a ton of assets and can build this out however they want. Maybe their struggles in the playoffs, you know, getting outshot by a billion shots a game and needing Dobish to save them, put some doubt into their original game plan, but they'll be looking at the Larkins and the Robertsons of the league, not really what the Bees have to offer. Let's get a little spicy, just for a second. We're going to do a little spicy. David Reinbacher, 21-year-old right-handed defenseman, fifth overall pick in 2023, and he's projecting to be a very good defenseman. Likely second pair, but still very, very good. The Bruins would love that. And while the Habs really didn't have the defensive depth they would have loved in the playoffs, they do have a lot of options on that right side. And this might be one of those guys that is a luxury for them, and they can get some really great assets back, such as this year's first, Dean Letourneau, and William Moore. So basically, that's two firsts and a second for Reinbacher, who's a fifth overall pick. I don't know if Montreal has any interest in going forward with that, but that's who I'm calling about if I'm the Bruins. And neither team is making their team immediately worse by doing this, right? You're both betting on prospects. Ottawa Senators, rebuilding or nah? They say nah. So they have a ton of cap space, tons of draft capital, and a real question about who they want to be. This is a franchise that is wounded. And I wonder if they'll be a little loosey-goosey with those picks over there for the right guy. Now, of course, they just made a move for William Eklund, which is huge. I still think Pavel Zacha makes a ton of sense for them, as he could slot anywhere in their top nine and be a welcomed addition to the line. I consistently undervalue what Zacha is worth. I feel like in this video, I've actually gone the other way, though, and I'm valuing him as much as I possibly could. He's on his last year. He's 29. Just scored 30 goals while playing on both special teams and getting less than 16 minutes a game. Obviously, you're not getting number 9 for that, which they had already moved off of. Number 25, though, a third rounder, and Logan Hensler, who's a 19-year-old right-shot defenseman, one of their better prospects, for Zacha and Patra. Feels close. And it gives them exactly what they want, which is weakening an Atlantic foe in the immediate sense and making their team better. So I'm not sure if I do that if I'm Boston, but some kind of deal around that makes sense to me. Tampa Bay, this was a really hard one because I wrote, this is a dumb project for dumb people and I hate it. I stared at this team for a little while. All the teams in the Atlantic want to be competitive, so we can't just swap players for picks and call it a day, which I just did with Ottawa. I think the Lightning would be very interested in taking a flyer on Lauri. I think Holmberg would be an excellent addition to our bottom six. I mean, one for one? Do you think we can get away with that? Lame, right? How lame? And I'm about to end this video in an even lamer way, too. Toronto Maple Leafs. They aren't trading the number one overall. They aren't trading anyone who makes them competitive this year unless something even bigger comes back. They won't desperately send assets our way for DiPietro. And no, the Bruins don't want more of their picks. Victor Arvidsson's rights for a fifth-round pick before free agency starts. Thanks for watching the video. I know, this sucks. It sucks to end it this way. But that's the way we're ending it because that's all I see. That's all I've got with this Toronto team. Now, Toronto's a team I want to trade with till the end of time because it almost always works out for the Boston Bruins. But God knows. Just God knows what you can put together with this. Let me know your mock trades below. Let me know how a big fudging idiot as well. But this was a lot of fun. Albeit a bit painful, but a lot of fun. Only took 14 pages of notes, which certainly doesn't... Like, you listen to the video and you certainly don't think I did. But, you know, I like to get detailed. But yeah, let me know what your thoughts are on the various trades and give me some of your own. Go Bees. Go Bees!